The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Second down and 7. Watson keeps, floats, wide open. Touchdown, Texans, Jordan Thomas. First guy in, last one out. Here he is to his right on fourth and goal. Now back to his left. Nowhere to throw it. Now he finds a man, and the pass is caught for the touchdown. Jordan Thomas again. Lamar Miller with 122 yards rushing. Play action. This one aired out downfield. That's Fuller. Fuller is gone. Touchdown, Texans. What an answer. A couple of fake handoffs. Watson standing back there alone. And speaking of alone, there's Hopkins. Hopkins. Touchdown. That's Hopkins at the bottom. Looking for him. Pass is caught for the touchdown. He's incredible. Great throw. And touchdown pass number 5 for Deshaun.
Yeah, I feel good for the team. I really do. These guys work hard. But, you know, it's only – I know it's 5 in a row. It's really good. Like, I'm not trying to downplay that, but – it's 5 and it's only 8 games in. Nothing's been determined, you know? So what have you done? You know, and as you guys know, it's a what have you done for me lately league. So we've got to watch this, correct, you know, figure out what's going on health-wise. I don't know anything about the health, but it looks like we, you know, had some guys banged up tonight, and then start getting ready for Denver.
Well, that was pretty damn impressive. Especially since they went over on everything. Let's do this. It's a Beaumont Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend, partying, fun, looking forward to the weekend.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. No Jong today. Producer T. Scott filling in. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776 is the number to text the show. Because we won't be taking any calls today because we're on location at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Producer T. Scott. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And it's a Friday. Weekend's here. Guessing everybody's still a little hungover from last night. Let's have some fun. What's going on, Hoffman?
Sports. Finally to Friday, my man. It's a Friday. We're going to have some fun.
Yeah, thank goodness, man. I'm looking forward to this.
Friday in the Mont.
Yeah. Which, you know what? I must love the people of Beaumont because I hate that drive.
I'm with you. I don't have much bad to say about the city of Beaumont, but I am not a fan of the drive to Beaumont.
No, but you know what? We love the people here, so that's
right.
That's why we do it. So if you're out and about in the area, come on out and see us. I don't know how many more of these we're going to have. So always fun to come over here and see all the Beaumont Blitzers in Port Arthur and everybody else. So we're at the Luke's on Calder. And before we get to Texans, AJ, I think I have a new challenge for my bookie for us.
Okay.
We should have a competition to see who's gone more often out of Jong and Barry.
Yeah, what's up with Jong lately?
By
the way, I hope, Tyler, do you know why Jong's gone today?
He said something about going to New Orleans, a trip he forgot about.
Gee, what, this guy's such a baller. He went to New York.
Let me tell you why he's going this weekend. I'm almost sure. I don't know for a fact. But Jong posted on Facebook yesterday that this is the anniversary of their first date. Day off of work and went to New Orleans for the anniversary of his first date. He's an idiot. Listen. Once you marry someone, you can forget all that stuff. You can forget about the first time you texted each other, the first time you had a date, the first time you slept together. You don't need to remember any of that. You need to remember what day you got married and her birthday, and that's it. And if you're a dumb enough dude to go around celebrating other BS anniversaries, you're just ruining it for everybody else. Stop being selfish, Jong. It's garbage. It's not an anniversary anymore. You're married now.
I'd like to add it up. I bet he's been gone more than the two of us combined this year.
How's he do it? Is that in his contract?
I guess so. He's the big dog. He can do whatever he wants.
Got to renegotiate.
Yeah, no kidding. But, yeah, I think that would be an interesting one. Speaking of the MyBookie Challenge, those of you who took the under on Raheel, you cashed your tickets.
Ka-ching. How'd the three in a row work?
Also a fail.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I wound up not betting that. I just said, you know what, I'm only doing this for fun. So I put 50 on the under.
Okay, and so you cashed.
Yeah, you know, not for much, but... it was, you know, he was so confident, and I love Raheel, and I hate betting against people I like, but having been around gambling enough to know that whenever you're doing anything where money's involved, it's so much different, and I just felt like it would cause him to choke.
That's fair.
And I don't know that he necessarily choked, but he only got 11, which is pretty good, by the way.
That is pretty good.
I just think the number was too high.
Out of 25?
Yeah. I think the number was too high.
I think so, too. I don't think that's a fair number.
Yeah, I would have set it around 11.5, 12.
I would have said 11.5, and I mean, yeah. He still would have gone under, but it would have been a more reasonable number.
Yeah, yeah, but that was a lot of fun. So for those,
it's a party in Beaumont, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's having a good time.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they know we're here, actually.
No, they don't care. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll do the show anyway. That's how we roll. So how about your text?
I'm on, brother.
Yeah. That's, by the way, I think it's official. I'm going to do a beer mile for my MyBookie Challenge.
Okay.
So at some point in the next couple of weeks, I'll go out and actually try it once I'm full on drinking again and see what the number is, and then we'll go from there.
Well, let's talk Texans.
Let's talk Texans.
I think this was the performance that this is what we expected at the beginning of the season out of the Texans. This is what we thought they would be doing to bad teams. And, you know, the Dolphins are a bad team. Let's say what it is.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are a bad team. But the Texans have played so many bad teams this year and either lost to them.
Giants.
Giants. Titans. Or let them hang around in games that shouldn't have even been close. Cowboys,
yeah.
Colts. I mean, it was getting to be like, man, what? Where is this stuff, this magic that we saw from Deshaun last year? And I'll tell you what, and Deshaun had a fantastic game last night, and it's not because his stat line is what. I mean, five touchdowns is always going to be eye-opening.
More touchdowns than incompletions.
Yeah.
That's impressive in any league.
Well, the fact that he threw five touchdowns on 16 of 20 passing, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect. He only threw for 239 yards. I don't care because you know what happened last night for the second week in a row? The Texans ran the ball effectively. So three things happened last night that, in my opinion, just totally made the difference between this game and every other game. They ran the ball well, one. Two, Deshaun didn't get sacked. And whether or not that's because the Dolphins couldn't get pressure because they suck or the Texans' offensive line is improving, I don't know. I don't think you can get better like in the middle of a season like that. So I tend to think the Dolphins just suck. But the Texans did a good enough job of protecting.
They have two pretty good pass rushers on that team, and I think they have improved on the offensive line by moving some people around. Frankly, Greg Mann should be starting every game.
Should be, absolutely.
He looked terrific. I mean, he played well last night, not just okay.
So. And Deshaun, well, this is still part of two. I haven't gotten to three yet.
Ah.
Deshaun got rid of the ball. You know, and not a lot of five-step drops and then maybe bootlegging out after that and trying to run away. I mean, it was quick, efficient passes. And it was almost decided in advance. Not every play, but a lot of plays were decided in advance. Are we passing or are we throwing here? And so often I think it's the RPO, which is the new buzzword. I think sometimes it's better to know what you're doing going into a play. And it's nice to be able to sell the other thing, but you want to know what you're doing, especially with a crappy offensive line, because they really do need to know what they're doing, like if they're run blocking or pass blocking. The third thing that they did that, I mean, just hasn't happened this season, they didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah,
and
that's the second week in a row. And no surprise, those are their two most impressive wins.
Watson made a crazy throw at one point. Luckily, there were no Dolphins even in the vicinity of it, at least close enough to take it away. But for them, there wasn't that, oh, crap, what are you doing moment where he throws a ball into traffic.
Especially in the end zone.
Or he overthrows a guy by 10 yards and it goes right to the safety. I mean, he was
careful. He had one bad overthrow and there just wasn't anybody there.
Yeah, he was careful with the football, though. And, you know, when that happens, whether or not this – you think this team is good or bad is irrelevant. If a bad team allows zero sacks, runs the ball effectively, and doesn't turn the ball over, they're in games every week. A bad team can get away with that, especially if they're playing another bad team. So I thought this was the performance I've been waiting for from these guys. It was kind of the performance that I'd almost given up on seeing. You know, there were some things on defense in the first half that were not promising.
That made Frank Gore look like he was, you know, 10 years ago Frank Gore.
But then there were some plays in the second half where the Dolphins get big gains on what's basically fluke plays.
Yeah, like the ball off the helmet was. Yeah, they get 40 yards on that.
That
could
have just as easily been an interception as a big gain. So, man, this was I thought it was a really dominant showing. Clearly, I was on the under, so I had no idea what was coming out of this thing.
I wound up not playing it, but I would have never played over.
Texans almost hit the over by themselves.
Yeah,
but yeah, this is and we've said this before with the schedule that they've got. I mean, there's no reason this team shouldn't make the playoffs. Even as I still, you know. I don't know where you have them power rated, and I'm actually going to do something for Sports Map next week, a mid-season power ratings, and just kind of go
16th.
Through. 16th. I mean, that's probably
15
around
or 16,
right.
Yeah.
But when you think about the teams that are likely NFL wildcard teams right now in the AFC, you're probably talking about the Chargers. You're looking at Bengals, Ravens in that conversation.
Maybe Steelers if Ravens win the division.
Right.
Yeah, those kind of teams.
I still don't feel like the Texans would match up well against one of those teams. But if you get to the playoffs, you got a shot, and that's
all
you can
ask
for.
Yeah, you'll have a home game, and if they play like they did last night, they match up with those teams.
And honestly,
now, they don't match up with the Chiefs and Patriots. Let's start there.
No, that not even close.
And nobody does. At this stage of the season, and we know a lot can change. But, I mean, I think those two are clearly the best two teams in the AFC. And
I won't put the Chargers too far behind them, because keep in mind the teams the Chargers have lost to, the Chiefs and the Rams.
Yeah, they also should have lost to the Titans. I'm not.
That's fair.
And now, to be fair, that was also a trip to London. And
the Titans are also that's a crazy team. I don't know what they are. I mean, some weeks they're great. Some weeks they're horrible. They're beating teams they shouldn't, losing to teams they should beat. So – that's as RJ would say, a high variance team.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that wherever you rank the Texans in the AFC, the fact is they're the best team in their division, at least the way it looks right now. And their schedule shakes out that they should get to the playoffs, and they've got the potential to win 9-10 games, which. I would have never thought.
Well, I mean, I
didn't think they were that good, and they're not. But
I think they can win nine because that's what, except for last year when everybody got hurt, that's all Bill O'Brien ever does is win nine games, and that probably wins the division this year, which I would not have thought.
I wouldn't have either. We all thought the AFC South was going to be maybe the best division in football. It turns out it's probably the worst division in football. It's arguably the worst. The NFC East is pretty bad too, but the AFC South is horrible, which means that. What we would have penciled in at the beginning of the season is as two probable losses to the Jags. You know, I would have thought they'll probably split with the Titans, split with the Colts.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a projected 2-4 record in division. Now 4-2, I mean, isn't remotely implausible. I think this season, especially the way the schedule's turned for them, the Eagles being worse than everybody thought, the Redskins being what I think kind of phony, a phony record.
The one thing I'll say to that before we go to break, and I got a lot of thoughts on this game too, that same group that we're talking about, that's who the Jaguars play to, and I'm not ready to punt on those guys yet, even though they're not playing well. I still think they can turn it around defensively, but they have the same thing. The Eagles not as good. They may win that game in London.
Here's my problem with the Jags. The Jags have this they have this identity, and this is what they were last year. They were a dominant defense and a ball control offense. Without Leonard Fournette, they can't be either of those things, because it's hard to be a dominant defense if you can't control the ball.
Right.
And they can't control the ball without him. And if they're a play-from-behind team, we already know how that story ends, because Blake Bortles sucks. He's the worst quarterback in the division. And that's why I give the Texans an edge, because the Texans have a real quarterback. Honestly, it wouldn't shock me if the Colts finish ahead of the Jags in the standings.
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back to that, because there's a lot there. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Getting better all the time and turning up against one is an art that's hard to teach. A man of clever words sets off an unsuspecting hurt, and as you step back in the line, a mob trips to their feet. Now dance, good dance, man, you never had a chance. You ready?
From the first down to the first bite, ESPN 97.5 at Saltgrass Steakhouse present the official ESPN Houston app.
Now this is top notch.
Download today. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz live here at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. We're happy hour until 7 o'clock tonight, which means you can get $2.50 Bud Light, Miller Lite, Coors Light, Lone Star Light, Budweiser, bottles only. $4 call liquors, which includes Tito's, Bacardi, Jack Daniels, El Jimador and Tangeray. College football.
Jimador. Come on.
Jimador.
Come on, Fred. Jimador.
College football specials all day on Saturday. It's $3 Dos Equis drafts, $12 Miller Lite Bucket, $15 Coors Light Bucket. And Fireball Friday, starting at 7 o'clock, you can get Fireball for $4, which I think a few people here have already done. So if they do that after 7 o'clock, it'll be interesting. A couple of things to sort of follow up. First off, we talked a little bit about, we've been talking about how Watson might not be right, and Daniel says the knee wasn't right or they didn't trust it. It's evident he trusts it now. This is the first game where
he traded knees with Will Fuller.
Listen, I know everybody's upset that Will Fuller got hurt, but Will Fuller's not been a guy you could count on. And I mean, I don't know how you avoid that injury. That was one where, you know, he gets hit from behind and lands awkwardly on the knee. So, I mean, I don't know. That's not your typical Will Fuller, I pulled something thing. But I don't think – honestly, they haven't really had him for enough time to say, oh, this is going to be a big loss.
No.
And if they can ever get
– it hurts because they don't have depth at that position.
Right. But, you know, if you can get Kiki QT to get his hamstring straightened out, that's a guy who can make big plays for you in the passing game too. And, you know, is it a loss? Yeah, but is it a loss of – it's not like losing DeAndre Hopkins or Lamar Miller would be right now.
Right.
He looked great last night, but it's a shame. But I mean, I'd gotten where I don't count on Will Fuller being out there very often anyway. So I just don't think it's that big of a deal. And people suggesting Dez Bryant stop with that. He's not. It's not the same kind of player, and I'm pretty sure he's done. But. Yeah, I loved how Watson looked last night, not just the way he ran the offense, but no, he only got hit once, and that was kind of a scary hit early on where he was kind of in the air, And fortunately, they didn't say anything about Watson being down after he took. It's like, oh, God, that's going to kill him. But, by the way, shout out to Chip, who brought us our care package, as always. And as soon as I'm drinking again, I've got plenty to go on now.
Oh, yes.
He took care of us. Chip's the man.
Chip is the man.
But what I liked a lot was, yeah, and give the offensive line credit for no sacks, but give Watson credit for it, too, because he probably eluded four of them just by getting out of somebody's grasp or getting away from the pass rusher. And that's what he did so well last year. And you know, he hasn't – I don't know if – again, I don't know if he was 100% healthy or what. We haven't seen that as much this year. But his escapability was there. I mean, it was damn near a perfect quarterback game. And the ratings show that. I mean, he had a 156 traditional rating. He had a 98.9 QBR, which is just silly.
Yeah.
So and it's not like it's just numbers. He looked like that last night. And obviously you're not going to be that good every week, just like he wasn't going to be as great as he was for the seven games that we saw him last year. But, man, you get three or four performances like that a year, and you got yourself a damn good quarterback.
Yep.
And this is, you know, I mean, he had a good game against the Colts, numbers-wise, but it's the first time he's looked like the guy that
we thought we saw last year. Yeah.
Yeah. And we knew he couldn't sustain that. And I'm sure he can't, because if he does that, he's in the Hall of Fame in a year. And that's just not viable. But I think, you know, he was so good last night, but it was also, all right, everybody record this because you won't hear it again. I'm going to give Bill O'Brien some credit, because they really did play his complimentary football last night.
Yeah.
By running the ball, that opened up the passing game. The long touchdown to Fuller was the perfect play-action call there. And, you know, and Lamar Miller finally broke a big run. He had a really good game. We mentioned the offensive line. I think Greg Mance was terrific, and I don't care when Fulton comes back. You keep Mance in the lineup.
I'm with you on that.
That guy has played really well for them.
Oh, I talked about that in the offseason. I said your second-best offensive lineman might be the backup center. He might even be your best offensive lineman.
He might be your best offensive lineman.
I don't understand why you wouldn't play that guy.
I'll be curious to see when Cody does his pro football grades next week what Mance graded out at, but – from what I saw, and I watched it again this morning while I was posting one of our 200 stories to Sports Map. I'm exaggerating, but between the end of the game last night,
nice.
So, and then two more this afternoon when I got here, and then there's two that Josh posted. So there's plenty of stuff on Sports Map today. Please go check it out. And my column was about Watson and how this is what we've been waiting for, and this is the guy we wanted to see. The only negative I saw is I thought the defense was a little bit shaky last night at times in that. And now part of it was Jonathan Joseph was gone. Jackson was off the field for a little bit. You had guys out there playing corner that had no business on the field that you never expected to be out there. And that's
Mike Tyson.
Yeah. And Jamerson. I mean, what the hell?
These are made-up guys.
Yeah.
These are like guys when you play Madden. And you do a draft, like you draft at the end of your season, and you pick up the fake rookies. That's them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they I thought there were some holes there, and you really shouldn't be giving up 23 points to Brock Osweiler. Now, having said that, and I know that by the letter of the law, it was a pass. In my world, if you throw the ball backwards, that's a fumble. And I know what the rule is, so it was the right call to overturn it. By the way, the refs had a terrible game.
They really did from the beginning.
Yeah, starting off with the kickoff.
That crap at halftime was, I mean, that's a joke.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, illegal formation on a kneel down.
And then they declined I mean, they're just like, no, we're good. Nope, you still got to go out here and take a knee.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, jeez.
You know, that was actually a really good play by Josh Case, who, you know, they brought back off the street this week, and he looked great out there. It was a disappointing play because, you know, the ball clearly goes backwards, and it looks like he's pulling it back in. But I know the rule.
If your arm's going forward when contact's initiated,
yeah.
Then it's a forward pass. And it looked, I mean, his arm was going forward when it was initiated. So, and it wasn't like a tuck rule where he faked it and brought it back or had the empty hand. Like his arm was going forward with the football. So it was the right call, but
yeah, it's
frustrating
for
sure.
It's a sucky rule because – you know, the ball was clearly backwards, and it looked to me like he was trying to pull it back down. Because if you are going forward and you're hit like that, you just let go of the ball.
Right.
So, you know, but and it didn't matter, which I'm glad. And I thought the other thing that they did so well, I don't have too much to complain about today because there really isn't anything. But because I think the defensive stuff was due to a bunch of injuries back there. But as soon as the Dolphins got back within four, right down the field. And that's what you want to see out of a good team in any sport. Somebody gets a big score, you want to respond right away. And, boy, did they. And you know, I thought the offense was terrific. I thought O'Brien's play calling was the best it's been all season.
Yep.
And as much as I bitched about that. But, you know, I think going forward now, you've got, I think, the big concern. And, of course, you have the extra break now before you go to Denver, which will help. Well, we'll talk about that when we come back because there's some injury concerns and Will Fuller, not in my mind, not a big one. Bigger one, Jonathan Joseph, some of those guys in the secondary. You got a trade deadline coming up. I think there's a lot of talk about, oh, should the Texans trade for a wide receiver? No, I don't think you're going to get anybody that is going to come in and give you the impact that you might get.
I don't either. And everybody's like, or Golden Tate for a third round pick. Why are the Lions? The Lions are good.
Yeah,
but why are they giving up players?
Yeah.
They're no dummies.
No, that's the thing. So I still stand by what I've been saying for a couple of weeks. If you're making a trade, I hope you're going after a cornerback. I hope you're going after a tackle. Because even as good as they were last night, they still could use help on that line. And I think that would make them even better. But we'll talk about that when we come back.
One of the things that, you know, we mentioned with what went right last night and why it went right last night was that they were able to run the ball. And I was curious, looking at their future schedule, you know, are the teams that they play against going to be able to stop the run? And how much would that change things if, you know, if a team comes out and is able to stop the run? Well, they just played. The Dolphins are the third worst run-stopping team in the league. The second worst run-stopping team in the league is next week, Denver. There are three teams left in the top half, the top 16. And the Jets are number 14. The Eagles are number 2. The Redskins are number 3 against the run. Those two games, those NFC East games, may be tough to run the ball. And then if you can't run the ball, I don't know how effective – I don't know if we can see Deshaun do what he did without an effective running game.
Well,
if teams can just tee up on him, then it's going to be different.
Unless the Eagles get some more cornerbacks between now and then, they're not going to have much of a problem passing against
them. That's true. That's part of a reason why the Eagles, I think, why their run defense looks so good, because no one's wasting time running the ball against them.
Yeah, yeah.
The Redskins, though, are a legitimately good run defense. They've looked really good.
They have, and that's at Washington, too. So, all right, guys, if you've got a credit card balance and you're paying too much in interest, well, how about this? LightStream can help you out. And especially if you've got good credit, you need to check these guys out. Because here's what you're going to do. You're going to save a bunch of money. Depending on how much balance you have on those cards, you can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000. And the cool thing is, you can get the funds as soon as the day you apply. And the best part about it is, I don't know what you're paying on your interest on your credit cards, but I guarantee you it's not what they're going to give you with LightStream. LightStream offers credit card consolidation loans from 6.14% APR with AutoPay. And a lot of credit cards, 18, 25%. Think about the money you can save just by putting it all on one payment. And how about this? Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount on top of their already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
All right, guys. Sunday, November 4th, gates at 1:30, music at 2. It's Carbach's second annual Foam Hinge event at the brewery. It's hosted by Eddie Trunk. This year's lineup is international. Rock acts from Australia, the UK, Canada, and the U.S. The lineup is Texas Flood, The Sweet, Red Fang, April Wine, and Wolf Mother headlining. Tickets are $23 in advance, $30 at the door. You can get VIP tickets. They're available for $80. That gets you a separate entrance, VIP area with an optimal view, indoor restrooms, three beers of your choice, access to some special tappings, a meet and greet with Eddie Trunk, and a buffet by the fantastic Carbach Restaurant and Patio. Go to CarbachBrewing.com to get your tickets today. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for all the information on their upcoming events and keep track of what beers are coming out. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today or ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. People keep texting me guys the Texans should trade for. Almost every single one of them are players that the other team's not going to move. I mean, you have to be 1-6 right now to even think about some of this stuff. So,
you know who would be a good replacement for Will Fuller is Marquise Goodwin.
Yeah,
and that he's on a team that you could probably strike something up with.
Yeah, maybe. I think it kind of goes back to what I was talking about them with Staley. They probably think they can be back next year. Do you do that?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Even them. I don't know that they would make those kind of deals because they may just say, hey, you know what, we're fine. I mean, we're going to be good next year. We'll just roll with this, get our high pick, and try again then. But, you know, I don't think that's a priority to go out and get a wide receiver. I really don't. Because, well, you know, everybody keeps saying, well, he takes pressure off of Hopkins does fine on his own.
He does. I mean, Will Fuller's been – it's not like he's – Will Fuller's kept Hopkins from putting up big numbers before. Yeah. Well, Hopkins is – he's almost immune to everything else going on around him. I mean,
this guy was putting up numbers with the ostrich throwing
the
ball.
Bad quarterback play, no other wide receiver. He doesn't care. He's going to put up his numbers.
And please stop asking about Des Bryant. That's a terrible idea. So I'm not even mentioning that again because I had about 10 texts on that. What about – no, get out of here with that. But they don't – to me, they've got guys on the roster that, you know, if QT is healthy, then – even though it's a different position, that's a guy who can stretch the field for you. They still got Sammy Coates lying around. Vincent Smith they're very high on, and that's a guy that I think just needs to get a chance. And all of those are better options than giving up a pick for any of the names that were mentioned when I think you have, if you can make a deal, you got a lot bigger issues still. And Jonathan Joseph going down is not good. That's a position where if you can get a cornerback, I say do it.
Yeah.
You know, unless,
but that's been the case before he was hurt.
Right. We were saying that 2 weeks ago. I'm saying it now. Just like I'm saying the offensive line, just because they had a good game last night.
Doesn't mean that they're good.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you shouldn't go out and try to get a tackle. Because, and you can adjust things a little bit. And like I said, I think throwing Mance out there every week is a really good idea. That upgrades you there. You can upgrade one of the tackle positions. Then you can rotate the other clowns at the other tackle and just play whichever one's having a good game. And you upgrade your team quite a bit. And I think sitting at 5-3 in this position, I'm more than willing to make those kind of moves right now if I'm the Texans.
I am too. Especially, like I said, the way the schedule rolls out in front of you, you got to think that you're a playoff team, or at least you've got a good shot to be a playoff team.
I mean, I think, like especially if the Raiders are really willing to trade Conley, I make that deal.
Yeah.
And the reality is – Most of the deals that people want to make don't happen. And the NFL's gotten better about making trades. But it's still, I mean, it's still long shots. And
the big problem is, if you're the Texans, you're probably not looking to get rid of your first or second round picks.
No.
Because let's face it, this is still a very flawed team. There's still a lot of serious need to address. And those are obviously your best ways to do it.
You've got to think that pick's in the 20s. And to me... If Well, I mean, it depends on the player. If Patrick Peterson were really available, absolutely I'm giving up a first-round pick, and I'm not thinking twice about it. But you've got two number twos, and if you could parlay those into an above-average tackle and a starting corner, I'd be okay with that. I have no problem with that,
yeah.
Especially if you can get a corner that's going to be around for a couple of years, because, you know, next year you're going to have issues. And, you know, Joseph's going to be another year older. But Dustin says, I like Dez, but Cowboy just traded a number one draft pick for Cooper when they could have had Dez back for free. I think that says everything that Dez wouldn't bring to a team. Yeah, and I don't think he's a good fit. He's not the stretch-the-field guy that they need. And I think you've got options on the roster. I know everybody looks at wide receiver because it's a sexy position. But in my mind, for this team to continue to improve, the other two are much more pressing to me.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. The Patriots they've homegrown wide receivers out of nothing. I know now it's easy to look back and say, oh, well, Wes Welker and, you know, Danny Amendola and these guys – those guys were nothings, and the Patriots found them and turned them into something.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be done.
And so it says, is this team really good enough to do anything in the playoffs? I don't think so. If not, why trade picks away? Because if you trade picks for the right guys, you might be good enough to do something in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And I believe you should be in a buyer's market. Now, I don't know that anything's going to happen. I don't know what Brian Gaines' theory is on whether or not to go get players. But, you know, if it's me, I'm making those calls. I'm calling the 49ers about Staley. I'm calling the Raiders about Conley. If I got those two guys and gave up a couple number twos, I'd be happy with that. Because Conley's young. He's going to be around for a while. And Staley you'd have for a couple of years, but your offensive line gets markedly better. And, you know, it's always good to add at a position like that where you're already weak, because even if those guys continue to play like they did last night, somebody's going to get hurt. So I'm definitely in the buyer's market if I'm the Texans. Doesn't mean they will be. 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. We're here in Beaumont at Luke's Ice House. And you didn't ride your motorcycle here, did you?
No, I did not. But listen, if you're looking for a new motorcycle, you're looking for a place to pick one up, there's only one answer in the Houston area. It's Republic Harley-Davidson. You want to get down to Republic today, see why they're Houston's number one Harley dealer. They've got over 200 bikes in inventory. The best customer service rating in the state of Texas. It's simple to see why they're the best choice. And it's still no worries October, guys. Buying a new Harley by the end of October, get a 3-year extended service plan and 3-year. And all you're going to have to worry about is the gas. Bring your trade in today, ride out on a new Harley. They've got the largest selection of 18s and 19s in Houston. They've got the ride you're looking for, whatever color, whatever model, whatever options you're looking for. They've got you covered. And coming up October 27th, come out to Republic. See the Miss Lone Star girls as they compete to be a contestant in the Miss Lone Star Rally Final. Outlaw Dave is going to be hosting. Enter for your chance to be a judge in the Lone Star Rally the following weekend. They're going to have music, food and refreshments, door prizes, all happening at Republic Harley-Davidson. Come see why they're Houston's number one dealer. Stop in and visit them. 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, are always open at republichd.com. That's Republic Harley-Davidson.
Is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, where it's happening. It's happening here. We're celebrating Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, Sunday at the Forest Park Lawndale Funeral Home and Cemetery. It's a festival celebration from 2 until 5. With free entry, which you know, that's better than if you actually die because you have to pay to get in. But free entry. You'll enjoy the live music, hay rides, balloon artists, kid-friendly activities, and more. Plus, you can even bring photos of your loved ones for the altar. Come celebrate those you love, but have passed with us Sunday at Forest Park, Lawndale Funeral Home, and Cemetery.
That's where the party's at.
Hell yeah. A couple of things. JD asking, the Texans defense is already playing good. I don't understand that you would trade for Patrick Peterson, but not a wide receiver. I'm worried that in the playoffs, the team shut down D-Hop and make the Texans beat them with Miller and no other wide receivers. Again, I think
the narrative that the Texans defense is just fine is maybe not accurate.
They gave up 23 points to the Ostrich last night.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're not awful. But to say that they don't need work, and I mean, they're losing guys at positions where they can't afford to lose guys at. They were thin at wide receiver coming into the season. They were thin in the secondary coming into the season. They were thin on the offensive line coming into the season. All those spots have had injuries.
Yeah. Well, and to me, the secondary is by far a bigger issue because, yeah, you can get by against what the Dolphins were trotting out there at receiver last night with your back issue in the playoffs. You go up against the Steelers with Antonio Brown, and you got Jamerson covering him.
Right.
I mean, come on. And, I mean, the receiver depth on this team is not that bad. I think if, obviously, you've got to get QT on the field, but, you know, that's why you kept a guy like Vincent Smith, because you think he can be good, and you throw him out there in these situations. Yeah, I mean, I honestly, this concept that Will Fuller is a huge loss, I just completely disagree with you guys. He hasn't been around enough to say this is, you know, oh, boy, and you know, Steven brought up a point that I've talked about before, how much of Fuller's impact is tied to his ability and how much is tied to Watson's extending plays with his legs. When Fuller had his big games last year, a lot of it was, you know, he doesn't get off the line that well, but Watson extends the play and he's fast enough to get open with enough time, and I think that's a big part of it. And I think you'll see the same thing out of QT if you get him on the field. Now you got 10 days to get him back, to get Joseph right. And then you got to buy after that. So I do think there's time here to get some people healthy. But, you know, I'm not of the opinion that, oh, you got to go get a wide receiver. And by the way, look at the cost that a wide receiver is going to give, that a wide receiver is actually going to be. Amari Cooper just went for a number one
pick. First round pick, yeah.
So who is it you really think you're going to get?
Nobody you want.
I'm just asking. So, you know, I don't know that it's I don't know that it obviously sucks that you lost a guy, but I don't think it's a must that you go out and get one. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And you know, I think everybody fell in love with the guy because he had a big game last night.
Yeah.
And he's had a few big games. But I also think a lot of that has to do with the guy who was throwing in the football. There's Lauren the Aggie. I was wondering, this is the first time I think we've ever been anywhere over here where there's no Popes.
Where are they?
She says it was her first day to work back to work after vacation.
Oh.
Because they were like in Costa Rica for six months.
Ah, so she couldn't bail out on work to come hang out with us?
Yeah. I mean, I think one more day would have been
worth
it.
Big deal.
But you know, you could have sent Aaron. He could have come. But, oh well. Sports, yeah, some of the Jags have looked awful. Do you see any value in them being comfortable playing in London? They made the trip more than anyone. That has to play into the line. 3.5 seems high even for a bad team. I don't think the Jaguars are a bad team. I think they're a team that's playing very bad football right now.
Well, I also think they're a team without an identity, like we were talking about earlier. Because they can't run the ball right now. It changes the entire way they have to play. I think there's a fractured locker room, because I think there are guys who are, mainly the defense is against Blake Bortles being the quarterback anymore. They're done with it, and that's a tough thing to deal with. You know, especially going overseas. You know, you're on a long trip with these guys. It makes for some awkward moments.
But it can also work for a positive, because you can be on that plane and say, dude, you got to play better.
Yeah.
And hash it out that way, too. And I don't know how Carlos Hyde, what kind of impact he's going to have. That might help, certainly. You can the thing about the Eagles, the way you beat them is attack their cornerbacks.
And right.
That's what worries me about the Jaguars. I don't know if they can do that. So, God, every single text is, go get this guy, go get this guy.
Yeah. Coleman would have been nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's had how many teams get rid of him now?
Yeah, nobody wants him.
So, I just, if you're going to do something, I think you have bigger issues. And if you fix those, I think you could be a lot more competitive. And I mean, right now, if they make the playoffs as division winner and host, one of the teams they host is going to be a team that's all.
Yeah.
So I still think
which
you
that
need
happens
help.
When you're the winner of the worst division.
Yeah. Yeah. Which that's what it's turned out to be.
You're the tallest little person.
Yep. Yep. But so yeah, if you're going to speculate on receivers, this is probably not the show for you because I just don't think they need to do it.
I don't think it's a priority either.
And you know what, if they go get one cheap, great. But realistically, I think they're fine. And you know, Jordan Thomas had a pretty good game for him last night at tight end,
yeah,
too.
He did.
That's a guy who was able to get open. And I also liked they didn't throw to him a lot, but I liked them using Irvin in the slot. For the first time, it's actually they may have a spot for him because he's not a running back. And he's too tiny to be an outside receiver. But you put him in that slot and throw him a few passes, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah.
But a couple other guys who I kind of wanted to – give some credit to before Kareem Jackson was very good again last night.
Yeah. But Kareem Jackson also not the kind of guy you can match up on a number one receiver normally.
No, but when
like Kareem Jackson against Antonio Brown would be.
It'd be brutal.
Yeah. But, not that Antonio Brown's an easy guy to match up with, but.
Yeah, but it's just like, but you give him help in those situations, but you don't want to have to do that all the time. But he played well last night. I thought Matthew played well at times. They used him very, very well, getting after the quarterback. Justin Reed looked good out there.
Yep.
I mean, that the safety position I feel very good about. Corner, not so much, but especially with injuries. All right. When we come back, we will take a good, hard look at all the other games coming up this weekend and against the spread and what we might do with them.
All right. I got to tell you guys where to get your next Dodge pickup. Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram is the spot. They are your savings headquarters. And, guys, the savings never stop out at Gulfgate. During Ram Power Days at Gulfgate, lease the all-new 2019 Ram Lone Star for only $339 a month. Jeep Adventure Days still going on. Lease the all-new 2018 Jeep Wrangler JL for just $319 a month. They've got the largest Ram inventory in the loop. They've got a new state-of-the-art service center that's now open twice the size to service twice the vehicles by their certified technicians. Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, 610 South Loop East and Gulf Freeway, always online at gulfgatedodge.com. Go see them. 2019 Ram Lone Star, 36-month lease, 10,000 annual miles, 1,000 due at signing. 2018 Jeep Wrangler JL, 36-month lease, 10,000 annual miles, 0 due at signing. Tax, title, and registration. Additional, see dealer for details.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth.